Grand Theft Auto 6, one of the biggest entertainment releases of this century, has been delayed again. And that delay isn't just annoying gamers, it's causing real shockwaves right across the global games industry. Because GTA isn't just a game, it's an economic tsunami. And, let's be honest, the one present about half the world I've been hoping to find under the Christmas tree for years. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beattie, and the reason for today's podcast actually comes from inside our own office. If yesterday's podcast was inspired by my own experience with weight loss, today's comes from our researcher Micheál O'Connell, who genuinely planned to take annual leave in May next year for the launch of Grand Theft Auto 6, only to find out it's been postponed again.
My story with Grand Theft Auto goes all the way back to, I think, maybe being six. When Grand Theft Auto 2 first came out, we had it on the PS1. My brothers were a good bit older than me, so I had access to games that I obviously shouldn't have. Grand Theft Auto at that stage was kind of top-down. You'd be basically looking at what looked like ants, and you'd go on a murderous spree. Then, sometime around 2001, Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, and that became a 3D game. And it was unlike anything I've ever played before. This time, I got in a fight with an older woman in the game, obviously, and she beat me. She murdered me, and I remember at that moment being like, I am in love with this game. Fast forward onwards, playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which gave me a love for all things music. Hip-hop in that game, house music in that game was incredible. The selection was incredible, and it formed my taste in music, I can confidently say. GTA Vice City did a similar thing with its incredible 80s soundtrack. I urge anybody listening to go back and check out that in case you're not already familiar. Then GTA 5 came out and me and my friends in college played it constantly. We still talk about it. Breaking into the airbase in the game was something I was even talking about last weekend and how much fun we used to have doing that. So looking forward to GTA 6, let's say I've been doing it almost my entire life. And I've already booked off for holidays for my annual leave on May 26th, a full 5 days in which I was going to relive my history playing this game, but do it with the most recent iteration of it. Then the news came out. As I'm playing PlayStation, I open up my phone and I'm greeted by the news that Rockstar has announced that they are delaying the release of the game until November in 2026. Needless to say, I cancelled my holidays. I need also remind you that I am 31 years old and I'm still playing video games. Haha, that's funny. I think the release of this game would have changed probably everything when it comes to perception of video games in the wider media sphere. It will be the biggest media release of my lifetime. Yeah, I'm very disappointed. But hey, I'll book off my holidays in November right after I speak with you.
So here's where things stand. GTA 6 was first teased in 2022 with its producer Rockstar promising a 2025 release. Then that was shifted to May 2026. Now Rockstar says it'll be at least November 2026 before we have the new installment in our hands. It'll be nearly 13 years since the last game, a gap unheard of for a franchise this big. The hype hasn't slowed though. The first trailer shattered YouTube records with nearly 270 million views. Console makers are expecting a surge in hardware sales whenever the launch finally comes, but there's also trouble behind the scenes too. A British trade union claims Rockstar unlawfully dismissed workers who were discussing conditions in a private chat, something the company denies. It's becoming one of the most high-profile labour disputes in gaming, and in the ultimate sign of a global reach, the GTA delay was even raised in the Polish Parliament, where one MP described it as a huge scandal. So today's podcast isn't just about delayed video games, it's about hype, money, labour, culture, and the enormous weight this one title carries. Joining me here in the studio for News Talk Daily is Kelly Early, who's co-host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Kelly, you're welcome to News Talk Daily.
Hello, I'm delighted to be here.
Now, we're talking about adults playing games. Are these basically people who've never grown up and they're still children?
There used to be a reputation that gamers had, and I don't think that stands true today. If you look at the impact that the games industry has and how credible it is now as a source of entertainment, you have games that have become TV series, games that have become movies. You have The Last of Us was a really successful TV series that came from intellectual property from a game. You have Fallout was another successful TV series that came from a video game as well. So Hollywood has kind of taken the lead now. Like, gaming seems to set the cultural agenda a little bit, and I don't know if that's a knock-on effect of the pandemic and people turning to games as a source of entertainment when they were trapped at home for a few years, but it's definitely a very mainstream hobby and interest for a lot of people now.
That's interesting. The Last of Us, absolutely huge. That, as you say, came from a game. Back in my day, when I was a child, it was the movies became games. So that GoldenEye game, which was probably, I think, 1997, maybe that came out, and then it became a game. So it's the other way around now. Do you still have physical games that you buy and plug into a machine, or is it all done by download?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. There's definitely a shift to get people downloading games. You can imagine for console makers like Microsoft and Sony, that's the ideal scenario for them to be the point of sale for games. You can still buy consoles that take discs, and that gives consumers an opportunity to shop around and get a better price for their games, or buy secondhand games, which you can't do if you're downloading something. But you do have to pay more for a console that takes games. It's an add-on for a disc drive on the PlayStation 5 and on the Xbox Series S and X as well. There's an option there. So you have to pay a little bit more upfront, but probably in the long term, it's a worthwhile investment.
So you can tell I'm a real gamer, obviously, with these idiotic questions I'm asking. So for these non-gamers like me out here, what is Grand Theft Auto 6?
So I suppose even if you don't play games, you might have come across the Grand Theft Auto franchise at some stage in the past. It's been around since 1997. This is the sixth title, obviously. Basically, it's a very expansive map in the game that kind of mirrors the real world. It tries to copy cities like Los Angeles or Miami or New York and give players the opportunity to explore those worlds, do whatever they want, steal cars, run around with guns, shooting everyone, that kind of stuff. And it's been the source of a lot of controversy because it's an 18 plus game and a lot of kids end up playing it. Ultimately, parents make the decision to let their kids play it, but it's been the source of loads of controversy because it has very mature, edgy and politically satirical themes that end up in the headlines inevitably.
Now, you said there's a storyline involved in the game for Grand Theft Auto 6. The storyline is things like stealing cars. Is this the game where we can see prostitutes on the street as well?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it sends a great message.
I think you're right. Like, it has been the source of a lot of controversy over the years. It going back to, I said this game's been out since 1997. I think since the early 2000s, some of the Grand Theft Auto titles, Grand Theft Auto Vice City and San Andreas, there was huge controversy at the time because I don't think a lot of parents ever considered for a second that a game could be so lewd and inappropriate for kids. They were just getting their kids whatever they asked for.
Well, I kind of assumed everyone was playing Super Mario or Sonic the Hedgehog. I didn't realise it was this level of detail.
That's it. There's drug references, there's prostitutes, there's machine guns, there's bank heists, there's everything. Stealing planes, crashing planes into buildings, everything you could think of. It's not a very child-friendly game, and I think this is something that every time Grand Theft Auto does hit the market, this is a conversation that parents are having, or it'll inevitably be a media conversation a year from now.
Oh yeah, yep. Absolute News Talk will definitely be covering that particular story, I imagine. I believe it's big, big business. 450 million copies have been sold globally of this game.
As I said, there's like a market for secondhand games as well, so they could end up re-releasing the market. It came out quite a while ago now. In the years since, even though there hasn't been a new Grand Theft Auto title, people have continued to play it online and people continue to make online purchases in the game as well. These types of games, Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, even The Sims, there hasn't been another Sims title released in 11 years. It's been 11 years since The Sims 4 came out because people are making in-game purchases.
In-game.
Yeah.
And that's where you make your money. Kim Kardashian did this, I believe, as well, that she'd be in a store, her character, and see nice shoes, and you can buy those shoes. So that's really where you make your money. Yes. So Grand Theft Auto sounds like it's very important for the gaming industry.
Yeah, Absolutely. And people have been waiting very eagerly for the next title for the last, by the time the game comes out, it will have been 13 years since the last one. So it's quite a significant portion of people's lives that dedicated gamers have been waiting for. And there's huge consumer expectation there. A lot of people, as you said, are taking annual leave off of work to put the time into playing the game when it's released. People are planning their purchases of consoles around this. A lot of people are buying PlayStation 5s or Xboxes in anticipation of this game coming out. There's a lot of people, there's people who play the FC titles, which used to be FIFA, and then there's people who played Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty, and those people are very dedicated to their respective games. Like, Grand Theft Auto doesn't come out as frequently as a Call of Duty title or an FC title would. So there's a huge amount of tension between consumers and developers here, and the studios that employed the developers as well.
So this news of a delay really did send shockwaves through the industry then?
Yes, I suppose it's great news for anyone who planned to release a game in spring 2026, because they don't have a major competitor lingering in the background there. They're probably going to sell a lot more games than they would have if they were up against Grand Theft Auto, because the games aren't cheap either, you know?
How much is a game like this?
Generally, like a PlayStation 5 game would probably start at about €80, €85.
Wow.
Yeah, or when they're new. Sometimes they can be a little bit more expensive. It depends.
Okay. Yeah. And they're saying now that they're going to release it November 26th. So that's kind of a 6 month delay, or a few months of a delay. Have we any guarantee that they're going to make that date? And if they don't make that date, then they've missed two Christmases.
That's right. Yeah. So to be honest, there's no guarantee that that date will be met. This is something we've seen happen a lot within the gaming industry. There's a term called crunch, which is the time the developers put in, where it's like mandatory overtime that they're putting in before a game is released, just to make sure that everything's in order. Look, we've seen in the past, there was a game called Cyberpunk 2077, which...
Cyberpunk? Yes. Okay, haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it came out in 2020 after 8 years of teasing the game to audiences. So gamers were waiting for this to come for a long time. They were promised the moon and the stars with this game, and then when it came out, it barely worked. It was full of bugs. And the issue was that even though the studio that made the game kept releasing patches and trying to update the game and improve it, a lot of people who had that first bad experience put the game down and never picked it up. And I think that's what Rockstar, the developer behind Grand Theft Auto, was trying to avoid here.
So is it difficult in this day and age to actually develop a game?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think if you think of a Hollywood movie, which would have been the largest comparable undertaking that most people would think of, it's far more labour intensive than that, really. Grand Theft Auto itself, this title that we're all waiting for, has a budget of between $1 and $2 billion. Naturally, it brings in a lot more money. When you think of the price of a game, if we're talking €80 versus a €12 cinema ticket, it's taking in a lot more money than Hollywood would. And then there's that long-term investment that they get the money back from in-game purchases as well. But game development is a really complex process. There's huge realistic maps that need to be made for the games. There's non-playable characters that walk by who each have their own like unique voice and script, and there's voice acting there. There's the like game mechanics for the cars, the planes, the vehicles that are in the game. So there's loads of work going on in the background of game development. And once all of that is done, they need to spend a really long time searching the game for bugs. They have quality analysts who play the game in every way you could imagine to try come across these bugs or glitches or the things that will make the experience bad.
I heard the gaming machines in Las Vegas, before they're released, they have to go through 100 million spins to test it for that as well, which is incredible. Now, you're saying essentially it's like making a Hollywood blockbuster movie is like releasing a game.
Honestly, more work. There's going to be, like, you have your actors, you have your voice actors the same way you would in Hollywood. You have your writers, but then you also have developers. And the distribution would be even further than a Hollywood distribution would be for a movie. It's getting into every video game store in the world versus like a select number of cinemas. So
yeah,
the supply chain even is an even greater amount of work. And then it has the knock-on effect on console sales as well.
Yeah. This Rockstar company sounds like a very interesting company. They've quite a checkered past.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I suppose they make such edgy games and such controversial games. So there's naturally going to be some controversy on a cultural level, I guess, within the company. But in terms of the current labour dispute that's going on, this started in Rockstar North, which is their Edinburgh office, where for the last year or so, employees have been working to organise and set up a trade union, which is called the Rockstar Game Workers Union. They recently recruited 10% of the workforce, which is a really important milestone in the UK. It's one of the steps that's needed to receive statutory recognition from the UK government. So even if your company or your employer won't voluntarily recognise that you have a trade union, if you have 10% union density, then the UK government will recognise it and help ensure that the organisation is meeting some of its legal obligations.
Right, okay. We're covering gaming on News Talk Daily, not something we normally do, but gaming is huge in Ireland. In this country alone, it's not just a sort of hobby that a few adults do. So many people are into it.
Yeah, it's really, really popular in Ireland. And again, that might be down to the pandemic. It was a great way to socialise if you were at home and you were like bored and wanted to connect with your friends in a way that was more interesting than the group chat. And you're seeing now all over Dublin and around the rest of the country as well, there's shops popping up where you can go in and play in virtual reality with your friends. And they're not the cheapest thing to do, but they are definitely very fun. I've done it a few times recently. So I think that kind of going out to game as a social activity is becoming more popular.
Yeah, a lot different from the sort of concept that I might have of a couple of lads eating a frozen pizza playing on their Xbox.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, now that stereotype's really flipped on its head with the introduction of esports, which is like gaming competitively for prizes that are like millions of euro. Yeah, there's people who are like training for esports competitions and they're going to the gym every day. They're like tailoring their diet towards performance in video games.
Do you come across a lot of women who game?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think there doesn't really seem to be that much of a gender divide within the gaming space anymore. I think it's still a very hostile space online for women to play online games. And I suppose that just kind of mirrors a lot of the social issues we see on the internet anyway. But I think there's games, like I've seen grannies on TikTok playing Animal Crossing, like there does seem to be a game for everyone.
And now I think back to even Farmville on Facebook years ago that everyone was glued to as well. We are good at making the games here in Ireland, aren't we?
That's right, yeah. It's just kind of an extension of our tech industry as well. We do have a lot of talent here and there's a lot of, I suppose you have the classic like Irish storytelling talent, the creativity, and then we have the technical talent as well. So I suppose that's going back to the Rockstar workers dispute. We do have a strong game workers union here in Ireland as well. And it's not just the like $1 billion projects like Rockstar who have union members in Ireland. It's even mobile game developers are setting up unions.
So we've college courses around gaming.
Yeah. Any university that has a computing degree or any kind of computer science degree will have modules on gaming, I'd imagine. And a lot of them would have a course specifically tailored to game development too.
And there's a thing called cloud gaming that I've never heard of. I'm sure you know it, given you present for tech's sake. What is that?
So cloud gaming is kind of an interesting one. It goes back to that idea of playing games without the disc or without the disc drive. So you can either download the game onto your console and play it from the download, or you can stream a game the same way you might stream music or might stream something on Netflix, and you'll stream it directly to your console, which saves you memory. It obviously requires a very strong internet connection. And a couple of years ago, this ended up being a flop in the end, but Google released a console called Google Stadia. It was kind of like a Chromecast for the same way you'd stream TV.
Yep.
With a Chromecast, you would stream a game through Google Stadia. And it had a lot of big titles in it. It would have like, I believe I had Red Dead Redemption, which is another one of Rockstar's games that you could just stream to any television, anywhere you were, without a console.
Okay, well, Grand Theft Auto 6 was due to be out next May. They're now saying November 2026. Will the fans wait?
They have no choice.
Yeah.
I think they definitely will. It's such a big franchise and it's been around so long. And I think people are also, I don't know, people have been tided over a bit by the online aspect, and there are quite a few updates to the online gaming options on Grand Theft Auto that keep people satisfied, but I don't think people are going to be boycotting it over the delays. They'll turn around and they'll be first in the queue.
Okay, and this is the big one that we're all waiting for. Are there any other games that people are eagerly waiting for?
Ooh, I do think, I mentioned The Sims earlier. The Sims 5 hasn't been teased or announced or anything like that. And as I mentioned, there's in-game purchases online. There's also expansion packs released for The Sims 4. There's been €1,000 worth of expansion packs released for The Sims 4. So you could spend €1,000 trying to build out your Sims as much as possible. And I think people are very curious to see what happens with the next Sims when that comes.
What about Pokemon Go? Is that still a thing?
Pokemon Go. A new Pokemon came out on Nintendo Switch recently. It came out on the Switch too. Pokemon Go, the mobile game that people know and love from, I think it was like 2016 or 2017 when that came out. It had that augmented reality where you could see Pikachu standing in front of you on the street. There's definitely still people playing that. I've seen people playing that still. It definitely lost traction as well, I suppose. Again, pandemic kept people inside.
I have friends who've met their partner while playing Pokemon Go in Dublin. Anyway, listen, it's been an education. Thank you so much for joining us, Kelly Early, guiding us through the world's most talked about delayed video game. And if you want to hear more from Kelly, you can check out For Tech's Sake. I still love the name of that podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. And to our researcher, Michal, we hope the extended wait for GTA 6 won't ruin your 2026 annual leave plans entirely. Well, that's it for today. And from me for this run of the podcast, it's been great having your company. Tara Duggan will be in the News Talk Daily chair from tomorrow. Until the next time, for me, Shane Beattie, goodbye.